Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing what to do if you've lost health coverage and tipping extra.
Yeah, Joel, it's a Friday flight episode, which means we are covering those two topics that you mentioned, plus a ton of others. Real quick, though, I wanted to mention, you and I, we received a Netflix recommendation. You know, back when we interviewed Lynette Calfani-Cox, that was episode 217, we briefly discussed Madame C.J. Walker and how she was one of America's first black female millionaires. Well, a listener, he reached out and recommended that Netflix, they have a series that tells her story. It's called Self-Made, and that we should check it out. So have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but I'll put that on my Netflix queue.
Yeah, last week you mentioned that you guys jumped back on that Netflix train, so you can actually watch that.
I can actually watch something on Netflix now.
See some of that Octavia Spencer. That's who's in it, which you saw The Help, right?
No, never saw that.
You never saw The Help?
No.
Oh, man.
I did finally see...
It's such a good movie. You need to go back and see that before you watch this series, I think.
Okay.
It's really good.
I just finally watched El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie that I think came out like a year ago.
Oh.
that kind of talks about Jesse Pinkman and his escape from... I don't know if I want to give it away if anybody hasn't seen it. But like, seriously.
You can tell me because I'm not going to watch it.
I think I'm the last person that saw it. And especially as a huge Breaking Bad fan, I don't know what took me so long.
It took you too long. So yeah, we would recommend for folks who are looking to learn some history there about America's first black female millionaire to go watch Self-Made. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to our Friday flight, Matt. A sampling of stories that we found interesting this week. First one, let's talk about theme parks. And Disney World is reopening.
Are they?
Well, I think they...
It's like, we'll reopen and then we'll close again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
When stuff gets too crazy.
I see that happening, yeah, probably. Seriously. An announcement any day now. But yeah, what's your take? Would you go to a theme park right now?
No. As voiced by my comment there a second ago. That's something I mentioned to Kate actually recently, is I was kind of bummed that we can't go to Six Flags. Because that's something, Evie's kind of at the age now to where we would go on some rides like that. And in my mind, I pictured the two of us, you know, like a little daddy-daughter day, going to Six Flags for the day, only riding the rides that she's not scared of. Obviously, probably very few roller coasters at this point, since she's also very short, so she wouldn't be able to get on any of those.
But then Kate just asked me, she's like, well, even if it was open, do you think you would actually go? And I was like, well, probably not. I don't know if we're at that point yet.
Not right now.
But yeah, especially considering how crowded and how many folks there can be at some of those theme parks. I know being outdoors, it lessens the risk of you getting sick. But still, just being around that many people these days is not something that I am necessarily going to choose to do myself.
And how risky is screaming on a roller coaster? Because in Japan, exactly. They've outlawed it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I saw one park said, like, the recommendation was to scream inside your heart, which is, like, the most ridiculous headline. And I saw a friend posted on social media that that's just a perfect theme, a perfect motto for 2020, to scream inside your heart.
We're all doing that at least to some extent, right?
Yeah, seriously. But what about you, man? I know y'all hit up Disney World just weeks before everything shut down back in March.
No, it was like early, mid-February. But
even earlier.
Yeah, I think early March, we would probably not have gone. We would have known enough at that point, but we didn't know enough in mid-February. And yeah, I definitely wouldn't go back now, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's just too hard to take all the precautions you need to be able to take in a crowded environment like that. Matt, speaking of which, more and more companies are starting to require masks be worn in the stores. In the absence of any sort of federal guideline to wear masks outside and whenever you go into a store, a lot of companies are taking it upon themselves to kind of create these guidelines. Starbucks, I think, just started requiring customers to wear masks yesterday. And then Walmart is going to start requiring them on July 20th for all customers who go into Walmart stores. It's good to see at least somebody taking the masks seriously, because we should all be wearing masks. And yeah, I'm disheartened by the stories that I'm reading and seeing about people who just don't take that seriously right now, because that's basically the only thing we can do to ensure our safety and the safety of others. It's the easiest and only thing that I know of besides social distancing that consistently we can do that will slow the spread of the virus in a major way.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. Another quick story we came across that we found interesting. We saw that Coke, they are introducing contactless soda dispensers. This is a pretty cool new thing that was tested out here in Atlanta, but soon you'll be able to control Coca-Cola Freestyle machines using your phone.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with your mind. That'd be even cooler.
That would be cooler. No, you need your phone and then those codes, the QR codes. Honestly, man, this sounded a little gimmicky, like clunky at first. But then I saw that you don't have to create an account or even download an app to use it. So, because of that, I would, totally give it a shot.
Yeah, we're going to see more and more companies creating, contactless forms of everything. There's even, I think I saw a story about a robot that flips hamburgers. So instead of having someone, cook your burgers for you in the back, maybe a robot's going to do it at some point. And yeah, I think COVID is going to kind of accelerate some of these changes, in particular when it comes to anything contactless, touchless, that makes us feel safer about our interactions with the world around us. Matt, let's talk about tipping real quick, because I think COVID has changed at least a lot of people's thoughts on how much we should be tipping when we are eating out, when we're ordering some takeout. And so, Matt, there was an article the other day saying that if you're eating out at a restaurant, that you should be tipping at least 50%. Essentially, the argument was that restaurant workers are being forced to work as some spots have reopened, that they don't have this choice. So in your opinion, is it more frugal or cheap if you're unwilling to tip 50%? And should we be considering tipping more?
Man, I'm not sure how bold of a statement I'm willing to make, but I'm just going to say that I don't think anyone should consider themselves cheap for not tipping 50%.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think 50% is, it's a lot to require of people to tip that much. But I do think that there is room for an increased tip amount these days, basically as a nod to the fact that restaurant workers are, one, they're in a much harder financial place right now, and two, their job just became a lot more dangerous, like overnight, right? So if I'm picking up food to go right now, I'm hyper-cognizant of the risks that these people are taking, and because they're in all likelihood enduring more of a financial hardship too, I'm more than happy to increase the amount I'm tipping, but I can't say I've gotten to the 50% mark yet, but I think that is something that should be on people's radar. If you're getting takeout, part of supporting those local restaurants, I think, should mean tipping at least more than you would in non-pandemic times.
Yeah, man. From my limited number of outings, some of the different restaurant workers that I've talked with aren't taking the same stance as, whoever wrote that Grub Street article. A couple have even stated how glad they are to be back to work. They're happy to get back to some form of normalcy. And this is even in Atlanta here, where we have a decent number of new coronavirus cases, right? I think we need to work to try to avoid that sort of savior complex, right? I think sometimes individuals can feel that others aren't making the best decision for themselves. And so they're there to kind of swoop in and to save the day. But in some of those cases, I think we need to leave it up to the individuals who are making those decisions for themselves.
Yeah, but at least be a little extra generous with your tip and wear your mask, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, all that to say, like, yeah, do tip well. But I think starting at 50%, that just does feel a little bit steep to me.
And if that prevents you from actually ordering takeout at your local restaurant, because it's like either I tip 50% or I don't get food from one of my local favorite places and support them in that way, well, then that's not good either, right? If you're creating that artificial floor for how much you're supposed to be tipping and it prevents you from actually ordering out, then that's a disservice to your local economy too.
Yeah, you don't want that to keep you from doing any good within your local economy. But the fact is too, man, I don't know about you, but we've been spending a lot less money on entertainment in general, just because we're not going out.
There's no entertainment to be had.
Exactly. There's less things to do. There's less money to spend. And so because of that, like we're saving money every single month on entertainment because we're not eating out as a family. And so maybe this article is just a good challenge for all of us to hear that there are ways that we're not used to when it comes to supporting and helping out others who are maybe in a little bit more need than we are. I think if you can afford it, it's definitely a good step to take. Joel, let's talk about schools. Some different school districts in the country, they're starting to spill the beans on their plans for reopening. Many school districts near us are offering parents the choice of whether or not to send their kids to in-person classes. But unfortunately, our school district has decided that we'll be continuing online education for the first 9 weeks of school. And they pushed back the start date by a couple of weeks. So this is kind of bad news for us. But in LA and San Diego, public schools there, they are also going to be online only this fall as well.
Yeah, obviously we're in unprecedented times and every school district kind of has to take all the information that they have in hand and then make the best decision possible for teachers and for students and for administrators. And different districts are making different decisions based on the facts that they have. And so I got to say first, like, I understand, I don't fault our school district for making this decision. I think it is a decision that's made in particular with teachers and administrators in mind. And I think lots of times school districts make decisions more so with the kids in mind, right? And while I'm bummed, right, that our upcoming kindergartner isn't going to start her school career inside a physical building, meeting her teacher in person, getting to know her classmates by playing with them in person, I understand the reaction. There was actually an op-ed in the AJC by a teacher talking about how teachers are continually asked to make sacrifices. And when they ask for something or they fight back against a change that's being made within a school district, they're often seen as the bad guy. And I completely understand that sentiment from teachers. I think a teacher who feels uncomfortable going back to teaching right now, I understand that sentiment, and I would probably feel similarly. But I think it's also okay for us to be sad about what's abnormal, and this is abnormal, right? Kids doing school online. And it presents a whole host of other challenges for us as a society and for families too.
Yeah, the different school start choices that districts are making, they're impacting everyone differently, and single parents, especially ones who can't work from home, are having a really tough time knowing how to handle this. You know, like, how are parents going to be able to work and support their family if they're not actually able to go to work? And so one suggestion that we would have, and obviously this isn't necessarily going to apply to everybody, but even doing something like pod schooling, you know, if there's another family or two that live nearby who you feel comfortable quarantining with, you know, doing school each day with those other kids could help lessen the stress. And it'll give your kids some of that much needed socialization that they'll be missing while we're doing school via computer. Joel, there's some families who we know that are basically creating these social pods, right? So we've done this from a social standpoint to where we're able to interact with friends and, you know, other families who we know are taking the proper precautions when it comes to their health. So essentially taking that same theory and then applying it to school. As social distancing continues, finding ways to lessen the burden on each other is not only helpful, but in some cases, like parents who do need to go to work, it's flat out necessary.
Yeah, we're all having to adapt in a major way in these times. And as schools announce their reopening plans, that has an effect on everybody's job, right? Their work and their capacity to do work, whether it's from home or whether they have to go in somewhere and work. And your capacity to work in so many ways has a direct reflection on your personal finances. So if your school district has announced reopening plans and it's going to be hard for you to get work done in the way that you were hoping to, then we would suggest thinking outside the box. And pod schooling, I think, can be one of those ways that can help you to achieve a greater balance in being able to get work done while still making sure your kids are getting a good education right now. But all right, Matt, we've got more information on unemployment and then how that impacts health insurance. We've specifically got some advice for people who have lost their health insurance recently because of the pandemic or because of losing their job. And we'll talk about that right after this break.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the a.m. in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch, they make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
We're back from the break, and this is our Friday flight episode where we are covering a lot of different stories and how they impact our personal finances. Man, let's talk about unemployment benefits. Man, I saw that only 57% of unemployment applications have even been paid, which totally sucks, man. I would have expected it to be a lot higher than that. And if you live in Florida or Georgia, it's actually been even worse. Some people have been waiting for over 4 months now to get unemployment compensation.
Yeah, man. Some people are waiting on $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 from their state for unemployment. I've got a friend who, because of just this minor typo on his application with our state's Department of Labor, was having issues even getting that corrected in order to have his application be able to move forward. And then emails remain unanswered. No one picks up the phone. For anyone out there who's applied for unemployment insurance, you're basically banging your head against a wall in so many states right now by not even having an updated status on what's going on with your claim.
Yeah, I don't even like not getting an updated status on when I place an order on Amazon, you know?
You're six houses away from delivery.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I will say it's been nice. I can wait around for another 5 minutes before I head out the door, you know?
Yeah.
But Joel, you know, in regards to jobs being lost, sadly, it looks like we're set to see more job losses in the coming months. United Airlines, they just let 36,000 employees know that their jobs are at risk. Walgreens, they just cut 4,000 jobs. Hotel chains, they're laying folks off. And those are just a few bigger companies, right? Many mid-sized and small companies around the country are having to do the same. And then on top of that, this uncertainty in the job market, it's causing folks to pull back on their spending, making, you know, the cycle even more vicious.
Yeah, and some of the bigger companies, Matt, that are laying people off, it has an impact on smaller companies. I was talking to a friend recently.
You talk to a lot of friends.
Yeah, and his employer works with one of the major airlines, and because they've had to pull back on spending, that affects his small business that he works for and the work that he does. And so, yeah, it's just kind of this cascading domino-like effect when some of these bigger employers find themselves being in a precarious financial situation. So what do people do? Well, if you haven't already, now is the time to prepare for another financial and economic storm that could be heading our way. So you might have a great job at the moment, right? But like Matt and I are talking about, a lot of layoffs could be on the horizon, maybe even more reduced pay for certain people in certain sectors and a reduced workload. We could see more furloughs. And so during uncertain times like we're in, cash sitting in the bank is so much more important than it ever typically is. And Matt, we preach the importance of that, just having a well-funded emergency fund all the time, but it's even more important right now. So if you've been prioritizing other things, well, we would suggest that it's more important than ever to get working on that emergency fund, to beef it up, preparing for harder times, but hoping that those harder times don't come.
Yeah, and now's not the time to take on additional debt.
No, for sure, yeah.
Joel, one of the other consequences of folks losing their jobs is the fact that oftentimes they lose their health insurance too. It's like this double whammy because most are covered by their employers. A new study is showing that more than 5.4 million people who were laid off from their jobs are now uninsured. This is a scary spot to be in, but you know, let's go ahead and discuss some steps to take if this is you, if this is your situation. First off, if you've been furloughed, there's a chance that you haven't lost your health insurance, right? You'll definitely want to make sure that you check with HR, but even though you're not earning a paycheck, you could still be on the group insurance plan receiving that benefit. Some employers are continuing to pay their portion to your healthcare plan. But again, ask about your portion that you'd typically be responsible for that comes out of your paycheck, because obviously you aren't paying those now since you aren't receiving a check, but there is a chance that you might be responsible for those missed payments down the road once you're brought back on.
Yeah. All right, Matt, let's talk about COBRA too. A lot of people have heard the term, especially if you've been laid off recently. But if you have lost insurance through your employer, it's time to look at other options. And one of the biggest things about COBRA, Matt, is that it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Because you're paying basically the full cost of what you would pay for healthcare and what your employer typically provides that you don't see.
Yeah, you didn't even know how good you had it until you got fired.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oftentimes employers are paying 70 or 80% of those health insurance costs. And most of us don't think about it. But the way it works is that it allows people who work at companies with 20 or more employees to pay to continue their workplace insurance plan for a certain period of time. The thing that's nice about COBRA is you can continue seeing your doctors and you'll still have the same deductible requirements. But it's important to note that you have 60 days from when you lose your job to sign up for that, or you lose your ability to keep that insurance. So if you get something in the mail about COBRA insurance in the event that you've lost your job, it's important to read that letter, open it, and make sure you take it into consideration. It might be prohibitively expensive and not worthwhile, so we're going to talk about another option now, but it is something that some people at least will want to consider.
Yeah, it is. And so others will likely look to the Affordable Care Act marketplace, right? The ACA. If you've lost your job, then that qualifies you for a special enrollment period for either your state or for the federal marketplace. If you're looking at healthcare.gov, like COBRA, then you're going to have a 60-day window to enroll. And of course, Medicaid, that's going to be an option as well for a lot of folks. Since Medicaid eligibility is based on your monthly income, even a short reduction of your income should make someone eligible for Medicaid for those specific months. So keep in mind that that is definitely an option as well.
Yeah, if you've lost your job, you should be eligible for a much cheaper healthcare plan, because specifically with Medicaid, it takes into account your monthly income. And if your monthly income is non-existent because you've lost your job, you should be able to get coverage for a whole lot less than you thought you would be able to. Matt, by the way, on Monday, we're going to talk to Scott Heiser, and we're going to go a little more in depth about cutting healthcare costs. And we're going to cover some of this ground too in that conversation. All right, Matt, let's talk about millennials here for a second. You and I, we're both millennials, but we're grandpa millennials though, right?
I am definitely on the older end of the spectrum when it comes to that generation.
Yeah, you barely qualify. But millennials have had, I would say, kind of a rough decade and a half. So many millennials actually finished school in the teeth of the Great Recession, and it made it hard to kind of start out in a career path with all the hiring issues that were happening right at that point in time. And now lots of those same people are having to rethink their current career choice in light of what's happening with unemployment due to COVID. And many are cashing out whatever savings they've had in order to pay the bills, with kind of the bill that passed that allowed people to tap their 401k. I know more and more people are cashing out their retirement, thinking that that's one of their best options right now. The pandemic is, of course, exposing different divides in our country, but I feel like that generational divide is one that's being keenly felt right now. And millennials in particular, I feel like, have experienced significant difficulty. And it's not due to like what some of the headlines refer to as maybe an overconsumption of avocado toast and lattes. It's just that in the last 15 years, there have been two significant events that have massively impacted the career path and the wealth building abilities of millennials across the country.
Yeah, it's hard to make headway with our personal finances when millennials in particular just don't have any momentum to kind of carry them through some of those storms, right? And so this is kind of where millennials in particular are, and even Gen Z a little bit. So the question to ask now is like, what do we do next? And in large part, it's up to our elected officials to take action in order to help shelter individuals through this COVID-induced storm. You know, there are some issues that loom large and are more complicated and interconnected than what we can manage as individuals. Being on top of your personal finance game is important, and that's a great thing, and that's going to help you to make it through. But it's also important to take action to make sure that your voice is heard. If you feel the government should be doing something different, then you know, make sure that you're reaching out and contacting your elected officials. Make sure that you're taking part in the democratic process. It's okay to kind of be upset and not happy with where things are currently with our country, but we need to make sure that we kind of channel that energy into ways where we can actually implement some change.
Yeah, and most of the time, Matt, when you and I, when we're talking about government, we're trying to distill the details of a program or a way that people can make their voice heard, whether it's in the case of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or we're talking about new implementations in unemployment insurance and how that's going to shake out for people, or we're talking about the problems with the government that the government's having implementing those programs. But for the most part, we talk about personal finances and what people can do inside of their own lives to make a difference in their monthly budget and then in their long-term wealth-building efforts. But there are times when it makes sense for us to stand up and for our voices to be heard when it comes to the people that represent us, the elected officials that we have entrusted to make legislative decisions that will collectively affect us all. And I think in particular, because we're in a pandemic, our elected officials owe us kind of more than we're getting right now. And I think they deserve to hear from us, whether it's an email, whether it's calling their office, and letting them know what you expect and what you want for them to take action on right now.
Angela, you were just mentioning how a lot of times what we talk about on the show are details of programs that the government has already implemented. And essentially, the reason we're saying all this is because we want to remind our listeners that you have control over these programs that even get implemented in the first place. We're not just on the receiving end of things, but we are on the dishing out side of things as well. We don't just receive the output, we have control of some of that input. And we want to encourage you to be a part of that political process.
Yeah, and for some of our listeners, man, that even might mean running for office themselves. I'm so encouraged by kind of a younger class of politicians who seem to be tackling issues that are actually affecting millennials and Gen Z, the younger generations of this country. And in so many ways, I think the national political discussion needs to change to include a wider range of topics that are impacting all of us a whole lot more than maybe a whole lot of, our current elected officials are taking into consideration.
Sure, man.
All right, Matt, well, that's going to do it for this episode. We covered a lot of ground today, and thanks everybody for listening, and you can find our show notes for this episode, and you can find all of our other episodes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
And if you have not already left us a review over on Apple Podcasts, we'd be incredibly thankful if you did. Joel and I read every single one of those, and in particular, man, there's been a few lately that where folks have shared how they have basically changed their life. You know, they have completely changed the trajectory of their future because of how they now handle money. And that is so stinking encouraging, and we would encourage others to do the same because we love that.
Yeah, I love reading those ones. Hate reading the one stars, but you know, it happens, right? All right, buddy. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeira. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.